week ago today, I was in Poland for World Youth Day with Pope Francis. And I think the highlight of my time there was Thursday morning, I went to Wadowice, which is the birthplace of Saint Pope John Paul II, and celebrated Mass and gave a catechesis to a group of about 1,000 young adults from all over the English-speaking world in the square just outside of the church of Pope John Paul II's baptism. It's wonderful and encouraging to see the enthusiasm of young people as they gather around the Pope and celebrate the Lord Jesus. The animating group that was with me were young adults from the United Arab Republic, from Abu Dhabi, whose ancestors were from India and from the Philippines. It was a really very interesting experience. In some ways it was people who are living the faith in very difficult situations like the United Arab Republic, who are evangelizing the world. And it kind of puts us to shame, you know, who have a very comfortable Christian life, that we don't do more with greater enthusiasm. So please pray for the young adults of the church. We pray that, you know, they'll bring all of us a deeper sense of faith by their good example, and especially the young adults in our own diocese, of course, many of whom are with us today. So you have a special role for evangelizing in the church today. In the Catholic tradition, we refer to Abraham as our father in faith. And what I'd like to do this evening, using the second reading as a starting point, is to reflect on this notion, what is faith? People often ask questions like that. It's a common word we use, but people don't know exactly what it means. And in this reading from the letter to the Hebrews, we have a definition, which probably doesn't help us very much. The author says, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And what does that mean? No. The realization of what is hoped for. The word to realize means to make real. And so what it means is faith is making real in our day-to-day life what we hope for. And then it goes on to say, and evidence of things not seen. You know, we don't see a lot of things we believe, right? We don't see, for example, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the church. And yet there's evidence that it's true that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in the lives of people in the church around us. So faith is about something we can't see that's the embodiment of our hope. I think a clearer and simpler definition of faith would be simply our life with God. Faith is that part of our life that is concerned with God, what we think about God, what we hope about God, how we live our day-to-day life trusting in God. And the model of faith for us is Abraham. And in this reading, the author points to three things about Abraham that are signs of faith. So we look at him and then we look at ourselves and apply the same principle. The first thing that the author points to is that Abraham, when he was an old man, you know, the tradition is that he was 75 years old, was asked by God to leave the comfortableness of his home and go. And God said, I'll tell you later where you're going. And we're told that Abraham trusted in the Lord and he went. And his trust resulted in the fact that he became the father of the Jewish people and of all of us who are Christians. So it's a willingness to go where God calls us to go, even if we don't know what that means. And to do that in our day-to-day life. I mean, faith is our relationship with God. It's not something we do once, but it's something as part of our ordinary living. So the question you ask yourself and I ask myself today is, are you willing, am I willing to go where God leads us? And that doesn't mean necessarily to go to another place, but to go in our life somewhere that we might not go otherwise. You know, for example, choosing to get married is going somewhere if you're single, right? Changing your job to do something more selfless and perhaps less rewarding financially, but a much better thing for the good of others, would be going where God might lead you. And you don't do that unless you what? Have confidence in God's going to be part of your life and will be part of that decision and be with you in that decision, right? So going where God wants you to go is a sign that you are a believing woman or man. Faith is not a lot of things that the church says are true and that we say, yes, I believe that. That's part of believing. But it's really a deep sense of confidence and trust in the God who says things to us. It's to believe God rather than simply to believe the things that God says, to trust him, to believe him, okay? Now, the second example that's given in this reading from the life of Abraham and his wife is the example of the fact that here they are. He's 75. She's at least his age because it says here she's past the normal age of bearing children. Yet God promises them that if they trust him, that they will have a child. So God is asking them to believe in the impossible. It just couldn't possibly happen. And yet it does because they make an act of confidence and trust in God. Do you and I do the same? If things are difficult for us, do we still believe that God can accomplish those wonderful things? An example of that that's really common today in the life of many people is the sin of pornography and addiction to pornography. And many people don't believe they'll ever get over it. But impossible things happen with the power of God. And to trust God, that God will do things that seem impossible to us, is a sign that we are a woman or a man of faith. That there can be peace between the Jews and the Arabs. You know, that doesn't seem possible, does it? But I remember, you know, better than 8 years ago, none of us believed that the Iron Curtain would ever fall apart and that the Soviet Union would not be, and yet overnight it happened. I mean, God does extraordinary things in our personal lives and in the history of the world. And if you're a woman or a man of faith, you trust God rather than what everybody else says, and you believe that God can do the impossible. So that's a sign of being a person of faith. And the third example is even more radical. You know, God was faithful to Abraham and Sarah, and they had a son. His name was Isaac. And after he was born, his father, I think picked this up from the culture in which he lived, thought that God wanted him to offer his son as a sacrifice. And so he went off with his son carrying wood on his shoulders to kill his son and to burn his son as an offering to God. Now God sent an angel, said, don't do that. It's a stupid thing, stupid idea. But God said, you trusted me enough that you would even be willing to offer your son as a sacrifice. And God was pleased in that rather trusting heart and generosity. And the author to the Hebrews says this, Abraham, the reason he did this is because he reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and raise up his son Isaac from the dead and be faithful to the promise. So that's why we call Abraham our father in faith, because he lived a daily life confident in God. And that's what faith is. Faith is your relationship with God. Now, the real question, of course, is, you know, we all want that, but what do we do about it in terms of actually living lives of faith? What is the sign that we have faith? You know, in his letter, St. James tells us that faith without works is dead, right? And many people say that the sign that we have faith is that we do good works, that we take care of the poor, we give housing to the homeless, we clothe the naked, we feed the hungry, you know, the corporal works of mercy that we read about. But I don't think that's necessarily a sign of faith. If we don't do that, it's sure we don't have faith, but it's not a sign that we do have faith, because there are many people who are atheists, who have no relationship with God, who don't want a relationship with God, who are willing to help the poor because it's a good thing to do. So it can be a sign of a lack of faith if we don't do it, but it's not necessarily a sign of faith if we do do it. The one thing that's a clear proof or sign that we are women and men of faith is that we pray, which is finding time in our day-to-day life to reflect about our relationship with God. You know, it's so important to understand that to pray doesn't mean to say prayers, although sometimes it does require that we say prayers. Prayer is having a relationship with God, or a conversation with God, or just finding time for God and spending time in God's presence, or let God speak to us. So if you don't pray, you're not a woman or man of faith. And if you don't do good works, you're not a person of faith. But prayer is an essential sign. So do you find time and space in your life for prayer? We ask Abraham, who is our father in faith, to teach us to be women and men of faith in a very practical and concrete way. And I'd like to reflect briefly on today's gospel, which is a gospel about our responsibility, if we are women and men of faith, to be serious about it, right? And Jesus uses two examples of the necessity of being responsible. And he says these things not to scare people, but because he loves people and he wants them to do what's right so that their lives are rich and full, right? And these are the two examples he uses. He says to us, gird your loins and light your lamps. What are our loins? Our hips, you know? That means put on your clothes is what it simply means. Put on your clothes and light your lamps and be like servants who wait their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Now, for us to understand this, we have to understand weddings in Jesus' time. They were not an afternoon affair. Weddings would go on for days and days, and you never know when they were going to be over. Remember the story about Jesus taking all those huge stone jars, turning the water into wine? They didn't drink that wine in one sitting. It was for several days that they celebrated weddings. And he's telling us that we as Christians need to be attentive and responsible because we are going to die. The Lord is going to come into our lives, and it's important for us to be like stewards who are ready when the Lord comes knocking at the door of our life. And the second example he uses is not quite as positive, it's a little more negative. He says, God is like a thief. Let's see if I find it here. I'll spend too much time looking for it. I should have underlined it. But he's saying, you know, that the Lord is like a thief who comes in the middle of the night, and if we are going to be responsible, we'll be found waiting. So do you pay attention to your life of faith? Is it important to you? Does it have priority in your life? Or is it something you only wish for rather than long for? You know, the difference between a wish and a deep desire is a wish is just a passing thought, right? A deep desire is something we act on. You know, you might wish you were wealthy, but it doesn't make you wealthy. But if you desire to work hard and be successful, it's more likely that you will be successful. And if we're going to be women and men of faith, we have to desire a relationship with God. in a passionate kind of way. You know, we become the people we will be in eternity by the way we live our lives now. You know, when we face God at our judgment, we're going to be certain kinds of people, right? And the way we become those kinds of people is the way we live our lives in this world in a day-to-day way. You know, when people who don't go to heaven, people who go to hell, are those who made themselves capable of going to hell. And those who go to heaven are the people who make themselves capable of going to heaven by the way they live their lives. You know, if you're mean and selfish and focused only on yourself in this life, when you die, what are you going to be? Mean and selfish and only focused on yourself. You know, dying doesn't change us. Dying leads us to the next level of our life, and we enter that level the way we are, the way we live our lives here. So when Jesus tells you and me in this reading that we have to be prepared, then we better take him seriously by making space in our life for God, which is to be a man or a woman of faith. Now, at the end of this reading, he says something that scares me. I don't know if it will scare you, but he says this: much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Now, who is entrusted with much or more in this room more than me? How many of you were in Wadawiche last week celebrating Mass for those kids at World Youth Day? I see someone pointing it, so there are other people that were there in Poland. But I have that kind of opportunity all the time. And so if I enter into God's presence at the end of my life without responding to all these opportunities of grace, I'm in deep trouble. But each of you is too, because God in his own way loves you as much as he loves me and gives you the grace and opportunity of having lives of faith every bit as much as he has given me those opportunities. So please, you know, St. Paul tells us that preachers ought to be ambassadors of God, saying to the people of the church, be reconciled to God. So I say that to you again today. You know, be attentive to the presence of God in your life. Become the woman or man of faith that God wants you to be. And you'll be really happy, both in this world and certainly in the next.